Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. We're going to be in chapter 6 in just a minute, but I want to start by looking at chapter 5, verse 13. And if you know Galatians chapter 5, it's the passage that speaks of the war within us, of the flesh against the spirit. And if you got saved, you have the spirit, but if you're still alive here in this world, you got the flesh. And it's constantly a battle. And you know, it's a battle that you can't just take for granted. It's not one that God's going to fight for you. It's something that each of us must apply our heart to. Galatians chapter 5, look at verse 13. It says, "For brethren, you've been called unto liberty." How many are thankful we're not under the Mosaic law?
Amen.
I am. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful I'm under the law of Christ. We'll look for a minute what that is. It says, "Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this." When he says word, he's speaking of message, short message. "Even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." So he uses the word law there. Also look down at chapter 5, verse 22. After speaking about the deeds that the Holy Spirit produces in your life, it says, verse 22, "The fruit of the Spirit," by the way, it doesn't say fruits, plural, but these things are a byproduct of someone walking the Spirit and allowing the Spirit to work in their lives. When you're submitted to Him, these will be the byproduct. All of them, in some measuring way. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no, what's that next word?
Law.
Law. There's no law against those. And then look at chapter 6, verse 2. "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Three times here in just these verses close to one another, the word law is used. And I believe each one of these is pointing us to the royal law that Christ mentioned. The law where he speaks in Mark chapter 12, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." He says the second is, "Namely, like unto this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There's none other commandment greater than these." Elsewhere in the Gospels, he says, "On this hang all the law and the prophets." Another place in the scripture that states this in a similar way is the book of Romans. It says, "If there be any other law, it's put away in this, love thy neighbor as thyself." See, if you truly love God, you will love what God loves. If you truly walk with God, you're going to care about what He cares about. In fact, a mark that you're a child of God, right with God, is your love for the brethren and other believers. 1 John chapter 3 puts it this way, "In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother." So those who are children of God, it's manifest that they're children of God because they love other Christians. 1 John 3, verse 14, "We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren." It produces in us an awareness of our conversion. 1 John 3, 23, "This is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son of Jesus, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment." And then 1 John 4:20, "If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this is the commandment that we have from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also." Now we can say love, and I love this person, or I love that person. Sometimes the word love gets so abused these days. It has such a broad meaning, you know. I love my little child, and I love a Snickers bar, right? Very different love. Let's hope so, right? Let's hope so. But you know, the reality is, if you are a child of God, and you've been saved, and you're right with God, you're going to love others. They're inseparable. Salvation, sanctification, love for God, and love for others. So the churches at Galatia who have been, he's speaking in the book of Galatians, trying to get this province to understand that you don't become righteous with God by placing yourself back under the Old Testament law, Some of them would say, well, then what law are we to follow? Are we just having lawlessness? And the answer is no. You are bound by this universal law. Do that which is outflowing from a love for God and a love for others. The law of Christ is really to love your neighbor as yourself. Romans 13:9 puts it this way, and I began to quote this earlier, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Who here would understand that those are harmful to your neighbor or to others? Yes, those are not loving. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it's briefly comprehended in this saying, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So we would say it's important to God that we love others, right? So how do I do that? What does that look like? I think chapter 6 tells us some ways that that works out. To love others, we need to be willing to bear the burden of others. God put us here for more reasons than just to live and enjoy life. We are designed and have been uniquely gifted by the Holy Spirit of God to fulfill a role in the church body and to minister to other people. One of the ways is to bear others' burdens. Now, you understand that we all have different sensitivities. I might look at a problem and see an obvious solution. You might look at it and don't even see a problem. You ever met somebody like that? They said, there's no even problem here. But you look at something else and you say, that's a glaring problem and I know how to fix it. And I go, I don't even see a problem. We're all different. We all have different sensitivities. And yet we're designed and commanded to bear the burdens of one another. And God accepts this as service to Him. How do I serve God tonight, Pastor? Well, you can start by loving others. And one way is by serving others. Jesus says in Matthew 25, the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto thee, inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. When you serve another Christian, you're serving Christ. Let's look at verse 2. Let's take a look at the law of Christ, helping bear the burdens of others. Verse 2 says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, I believe he's talking about the body of Christ here primarily. So, should we love all men? Yes. Do we communicate that love the same way? Do you have the same responsibility to bear the burdens of every single person you meet? No. You have a greater responsibility to help bear the burdens of those within your body, and then a secondarily to those in the world. Here, he's saying one another within the body of Christ, I believe. Christian brothers and sisters. In fact, later on, he says in verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto those who are of the household of faith. You see that there? So verse 2 starts the discussion, and verse 1 kind of is lumped in together. He begins it in verse 1 and then talks about the law of Christ, but broadly speaking, the law of Christ, bearing burdens, begins in verse 1 down through verse 6, and then verse 10 is tacked on as a way of telling us again. Bearing burdens. Pastor, who has burdens? Well, look around. You say, well, I have burdens. Oh, we'll get there. It's in this passage. Each of us has burdens. Some of us, we tell others about our burdens. Some people you know about their burdens because they've invested in you or they have shared it with you. Everyone has burdens to bear. Emotional burdens, relationship burdens, financial burdens. They need someone to listen to counsel, sometimes to help, to cheer them up. All of those things are included. And by the way, God doesn't expect you to do all of those. He doesn't expect you to be Jesus. You are not God. But can you help bear burdens in some way? Absolutely. In fact, you've been gifted, I believe, in some way for some people. And when you do that, when you seek to bear the burdens of others, not just self, you're fulfilling the law of Christ. To love one another as Christ commands is to be aware of others' needs. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be also in you, which was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Did he bear our burdens? Absolutely he did. That's the mindset we're to have. By the way, some days that's really hard to have that mindset. Some days it's all we can do just to get up and to go, and we have so much burdens ourselves. Sometimes it's difficult, but God encourages us to be attentive to others in the body of Christ. In fact, I would say that would revolutionize the way that our church experience is, and some of you do this already. Some of this comes natural to. Some of us it's a little bit harder. When you come to church, you should receive something, but when you come to church, we should primarily be involved first in giving something. What should I give, Pastor? Well, the Scripture says to exhort one another. Exhortation, encouragement, engaging others, ministering to others. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. Seeking to lift others up, to edify. Ephesians chapter 4 says that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are given to each one to the edifying of the body. All of us have that role, from our kids all the way up to our oldest member. I'm not even sure who that is anymore. It might be Brother Tim. Not you, not you. A different Brother Tim. We should be attentive to the others in the body, caring about others, reaching out, being connected. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about our spiritual gifts and how that we are the body and the body of Jesus Christ, and that we should care for different members of the body. And listen, when my body is affected, my body's health is affected, the rest of my body takes care of whatever member is affected. Some of you struggle with arthritis in your foot or in your hand. The whole rest of your body is preoccupied with guarding that member of the body, right? When my head feels a headache, guess what? My feet all of a sudden get very motivated to walk over and grab some Excedrin so I can take it. When I'm too hot, my mouth tells Alexa to turn down the air condition, and she gives me some bogus information off the internet because she's never listening properly. But my body cares for itself. In the church, we're to care for one another. So when we come to church, I would say it would revolutionize our church experience if when we come, we say, Lord, I want to worship you. I want to receive, but I want to look for someone to minister to. I want to look for someone to encourage. When I talk to people, I want to encourage them. I want to figure out, if you carried a little piece of paper or if you carried a little notebook and said, I'm going to write down prayer requests when people talk to me about things, it would revolutionize your church experience. Some of you do that already, okay? The substance of your life is to be spent loving God through service and loving others. That's one way. And by the way, when you do that, you're actually investing. He'll tell us later, bearing the burdens of one another. Here's a way that you can bear the burdens is by helping those who have fallen to sin. Brethren, if a man do be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. This word, overtaken in a fault, it's the word transgression, to step out of line or go over the line or go too far. And that happens. In Genesis, sin is pictured like a wild animal. In the book of 2 Peter or 1 Peter, the devil is pictured like a roaring lion who goeth about seeking whom he may devour. You guys do understand this, that when you walk out those doors, you got a target painted on you, right? Yeah. And so do your neighbors that are in here. And you know what we need? You know what we really need? We need to look out for each other with love and care. When you see somebody struggling, the first person you need to speak to is the Lord. The second person you need to speak to is that person. You know that? Biblically. You say, oh, Pastor, that requires a level of relationship. Well, we can work towards that, right? Shouldn't we be working towards that in a family? Yeah. If a brother be overtaken in a fault, you notice there's some slipping, or maybe they've backslidden, or they're not in church. And by the way, maybe the conversation would go something like this. Hey, you know, so-and-so isn't in church. I haven't seen him lately. I reached out and couldn't get a hold of him. You want to come with me? We'll go pay him a visit. Wouldn't that be a good thing to do? I dare say not as many people would stay backslidden as long. And it says, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one, and the spirit of meekness. You know, it's not prideful to be spiritual. Some people say, well, I could never say that I'm spiritual. Well, spiritually minded, like, what is your goal? What is your motivation when you're seeking to help this person? It's a spiritual goal to restore someone. You do understand that, right? God wants that to happen. James chapter 5 says, if any of you do err from the faith and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth a sinner doth save a soul from death and hide a multitude of sins. So when somebody errs from the faith, we as believers are to step out and try to help them, encourage them to come back, not just ghost them. We're sometimes good at that, Christians are. We shouldn't be. If it's a brother or a sister, by the way, if it's a body part, my body doesn't easily let go of parts of my body. It hangs on to them pretty well. I've grown quite attached to them. Ye which are spiritual should do this. Restore such a one. Bring them back to their proper place. That word restore, that phrase, kind of has the idea of setting a joint. You know, sometimes it's painful to set a joint. Anybody ever said something dislocated that had to be reset? Oh, and you don't want anybody to touch it, do you? Ouch! I slipped a rib a couple times that pulled loose my back in my wrestling career. Not professional wrestling. You don't have to worry about that. And it pulled loose, and the chiropractor popped it back in. I rotated a vertebra in my back one time, and I could not move, and he popped it back in. And it was when it was reset, I didn't want anybody to touch me. I was in so much pain, I couldn't breathe. And when he reset it, oh, everything was right. You know, that's really the restoration process. It's God's desire that we go to someone, that we bring them back into the fold. That means we need to love them, and we need to be engaged. In a spirit of meekness, not a spirit of superiority, not a spirit of anger or condemnation, not like a doctor with a bad bedside manner. You go to the doctor and the doctor walks up and says, you dummy, why'd you get sick? You know, no, we're not supposed to be like that. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Sometimes when you engage with people, sometimes temptations come. Understand, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. How many here could fall to sin as well? And each one of us, we could put our hands up. But by the grace of God, we are not there. Restoring someone who's fallen to sin is one way. And I would say another way, look at verses 3 through 5. Is by bearing our own burdens with grace. There are burdens in your life that others will help you bear, but you still have to bear them. And it's hard. There's burdens that come into our life, and by God's grace, you can bear them. By the way, part of being a part of the family is, and a part of a body is having strength. You can have strength. Verse 3, God will allow some burdens into your life. Verse 3 says, if a man thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Sometimes people will go to restore a person, but they do so from a position of pride, thinking that they're something because they haven't fallen like this other individual. Meanwhile, pride is a pretty bad sin. You guys realize that, right? He deceiveth himself. Instead, let every man prove his own work, and then he shall have rejoicing in himself alone and not another. For every man shall bear his own burden. God gives you some burdens that nobody else can bear for you. They can encourage you along. And how many times do we raise our hand with an unspoken prayer request? It's too near. It's too delicate. We can't share it. You know what? Brothers and sisters can pray for you, but I can't necessarily fix it for you. I've said that before as a pastor. You know, I'd love to fix that for you. I can pray for you. I'm here for you. I can be an encouragement. I can't solve that. And you know what? As we do this, God can help us. And God works through those burdens to purify us many times. Those burdens many times help us rely on His strength. I think of what the Apostle Paul said. He was sitting in prison. Could anybody take that prison sentence for him? No. Now, they could supply him. They could bring his cloak and his script, and they could bring different things to him, but he himself sat in prison and bore that burden. And you know what he said because of the fact of what he did for Christ? He said, I've suffered. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. I know how to be full and how to suffer need. And he says, because I've experienced all these things and I've had God's strength through them all, he said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That was a statement of experience because he had done a lot of things through Christ, which strengthened him. And he would never have been able to say that with experience had not he borne those burdens on his own. Sometimes God allows burdens into your life and allows you to bear them with grace to give you meekness and awareness to help others. So bearing one another's burdens, being willing, looking around, loving one another, being others-minded, helping others who have fallen into sin, bearing your own burdens with grace. Here's one, help bear the burden of the ministry, encourage the preacher. Now this might seem self-serving, but it is in the passage, so I'm going to preach it. Verse 6, let him that is taught in the word, that word taught there, it's the word, it's kind of an interesting word. It's the word from which we get catechism or doctrines. So people who have been taught in the word, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. I only want good things. Share with. How can you help bear the burden for the preacher? Well, I need your prayers. I desperately need your prayers. By the way, I'll say this. If it ever comes across your mind, not just me, if another Christian ever comes across your mind and you're not really sure why, just pray for them. It may be the Holy Spirit bringing them to your mind. Or, I'll tell you this, you really want to knock some people's socks off, send them a text message that you're praying for them. Just thought of you, praying for you. Is there any way I can help you today? You know, that would really work. And by the way, some of you guys do that already, all right? Praise God for you. I love that. Let's continue. Those are nudgings of the Holy Spirit, I believe. The work that God has called me to do as a pastor, I don't know if you realize this, I can't do it. Did you know that? I can't do it. All I can do is start, and the Lord has to do it. I can apply myself, but it's Christ in me that has to do it. Do you realize that no human can do a spiritual work, only the Holy Spirit through them? Christ in me can do it. I hope you guys understand what I'm saying. I need your prayers. Josh Goodwin can't do it, but Christ can do it. I'm in need of those. When I accepted the call to be a pastor, it intimidated me because I knew that it's something that God would have to do. And the greatest thing we can do is be faithful. I need your prayers. I need your support. Enthusiastically supporting the vision of the church. Presence, your help, your counsel, your opinions. I love that. Your friendship. There's this idea, a little bit of transparency. There's like an old school idea that you can't be friends with the pastor. And that needs to die. If I could just be quite honest with you. That needs to die. Don't put me on a pedestal. I'm just a person. I'm a sheep, just like you. I'm just the under-shepherd, okay? If Jesus could be a friend with his disciples, and he was, do we think that somehow people in ministry are different? We should be friends one with another. I need your friendship. In fact, 1 Thessalonians 5 puts it this way. Paul says, we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, admonish you, to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. That's where that's where that came from. We need to love one another. So it's not the church versus the preacher. You know, sometimes people get that idea. I've heard people, not in this church, but people, you know, they're like, well, the preacher has too much power. We need to balance the power, keep them in check. We need some more deacons over here. You know, so you get these deacons, and it's the deacons versus the preacher. That sounds really confusing and unbiblical. We're all supposed to be serving God together. I need your understanding. So help bearing the burden of the ministry and being willing to get involved in the ministry. And I think our church is headed there. There's a lot of structure that's happened this year, willing members, different ones joining in. We're learning where you're gifted. We're learning where you're willing. And it's a wonderful thing. Let's continue. You know, look at verses 7 through 8. This is encouraging because sometimes bearing the burdens of others gets tiring. You're like, I already got burdens I'm bearing. And Pastor, you're telling me that I need to come to church and look for other people that are downtrodden. And here I've got these difficult things. And what do I get out of it? Now, nobody's actually going to say that, but sometimes we feel that way. Well, I'm glad you asked. Verse 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You know, I tell my boys this, and my Jossie, but my boys, especially the older ones, about a philosophy of life. I say, if you live for the Lord and you live for others, it's a philosophy of investing. And if you invest your life in other people, God's going to bless you, and you'll always have people who love you. More people should realize that. You know, if you live for yourself, you can live for one person. Right? If you live for others, there's a lot of people you can live for. You can live for Jesus. Because sometimes bearing burdens seems thankless. Sometimes others seem like they always have more needs, and their needs outpace your help, and you just can't keep up with it. By the way, God didn't tell you to solve all of their problems. You just help, all right? Sometimes we want to fix other people, and you can help bear their burdens, but other people may be in the situation they're in because they make really bad decisions, and they're going to stay there unless their decision maker gets fixed. And you can't fix that. You can help ease the burdens a little and love them and show them the love of Christ, but at some point you realize, I can't keep up with this, and you have to let them go. At some point. But you should still try to help bear their burdens. Sometimes you invest in others' lives and it doesn't bring the fellowship you expected. Anybody ever heard the statement, no good deed goes unpunished? Sometimes it feels that way. But don't stop. But sometimes trying to restore the fallen doesn't bring them back, or maybe the preacher's just too high maintenance. So what do? Well, observe the general principle of sowing and reaping. We live in a world in which God has this universal reality of sowing and reaping. And the world without God, it's really kind of comical because they try to explain scriptural truths without God. And I love to listen to, they say, oh, well, it's good karma. It's not karma. It's God. He's created this world this way. And when you invest, you will reap, right? It's always going to be that way. God is not mocked. You can't break God's law and get away with it. This farming analogy, if you plant wheat, you will not reap corn. And if you do, you probably didn't plant what you thought you planted. So he applies this law to spiritual things. If you sow to the flesh, by the way, that means if you live for self, you'll of the flesh reap corruption. If you just live a life that says, I'm just going to do what feels good, no self-denial, just whatever I want, subjective morality, as long as I can get away with it, you know what the result of that is? A shortened life, a hollow life, you will reap death in your life. But if you sow to the Spirit, when the Holy Spirit tells you and he points out those people and someone comes to mind and you invest in the lives of other people, when you live for others, God will bless you. That's the life described in chapter 5, verses 22 through 23, the fruit of the Spirit. When you live a life governed by these things, by love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, love for God and love for one another, when you live a life governed by those, you will reap life everlasting. Living for others is difficult. And every parent, every mother who has a bunch of kids, you live for other people. It's hard. You get worn out. So I love what verse 9 says. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Now, sometimes there are people who will say, oh, well, you know, bless God, serving God, you never get tired. I'm like, yeah, you ain't doing it right then. Or you're not being honest. I get tired. Sometimes I get tired. No, I'm just going to say it. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I tell my pastor brethren this, and I hope they tell me this from time to time. God always rewards those who serve Him. If you serve others for Christ's sake, He'll bless you for it. And then finally, seek to be a blessing to all you contact, not just within the body of Christ. Now, I have met Christians who are kind of cantankerous and ugly to other Christians, but they'll be really loving to the world. That's backwards, all right? By the way, you should be loving the world as well, but you have a greater duty to the body of Christ. Somebody say amen. We have, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. What Jesus says, you are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. He's put you here to be an influence. That's why He didn't take you to heaven yet, right? Because we're supposed to be an influence. So do good unto all men, especially unto them which are of the household of faith. But Pastor, they're of the household of faith, but they don't worship like I do, or they might go to a different church. The Bible doesn't say anything about that. Still good, do good to them. By the way, how many of y'all understand, you don't have to agree with someone 100% in order to still love them? Yeah, yeah. And I'm not saying that we need to compromise or change, but by all means, let's show the love of Christ to others. And if you do that, what you might find is you influence some of those who were on the fence and you just thought they disagreed with you a whole bunch, and then they begin agreeing with you. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? For whom do you live, Christian? Do you live for yourself? Do you live day to day? Or do you live for the Lord and live for others? Now, that's going to look different depending on what season of life you're in. If you're a homemaker and you got a bunch of kids running around in your house, probably the people that you're going to bear the burdens of is the little ones that God has entrusted you with, those little disciples. Yeah. And as they grow up and you begin to influence them and they move out of the nest, the turners are in this way, you know, they're getting, you still got some in the nest, you're not kicking them out yet. And, you know, our family and the laymans, you know, you got all these different stages and you begin to branch out more and now you can minister more. And then some of you, you are in the golden years of life. And you don't have kids at home and you got grandkids and you have other people. But guess what? There's people you see on a regular basis at the doctor's office. Right? Yeah. You talk to folks, the grocery store. You can get to know them, love them in Jesus' name, bearing the burdens of others. And let's not forget this local assembly, because this is the body of Christ you belong to. And as we do that, you know what it produces? It produces a stronger church. It's a lot harder for the devil to get into a strong church when we bear one another's burdens. Let's have a word of prayer as we close tonight. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. Help us to be constantly endeavoring to please you. God, I want to please you with my life. And you've told us what pleases you in this passage. And we love one another, bearing the burdens of others. Work in our lives to help us see how we can do that practically. In your name I pray. Amen. And amen. Before we close, we got 1 or 2 minutes. Can I have a piano player come up here for just a minute? We'll consider what we've heard. And I'll give you just a moment to talk to the Lord. Heads bowed and eyes closed. If God has spoken to your heart as the piano plays, talk to the Lord there in your seat.